This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast.
You're on Mad Wednesdays on Joy 94.9. And now it is time for the Mad Wednesday Counselor's Corner, where Robbie and I are going to learn things instead of pretending to just look it up on Google and talk to you all about it and sound like we're experts. So joining us here is a psychologist, Dr. Elizabeth Landrieu. Hello, how are you?
I am good. Thanks, boys.
It is absolutely wonderful to have you with us here today on the show. Now, just a little background for our listeners on you. You're a licensed psychologist and licensed associated marriage and family therapist with a clinical background working with members of the LGBTIQA plus communities and HIV community. And you currently work at a private practice in the CBD in Melbourne and in South Bank, treating individuals and couples working through mental and relationship health issues, including mood and sleep disorders, because that's what we want to talk about today, and so much more. So today we're going to be talking about sleep hygiene, which confused me the minute I heard the word, because when I think hygiene, I'm like, how do you make your sleep cleaner? Like, count the sheep and then have them have a shower. I don't know. What is sleep hygiene?
Yeah, so sleep hygiene is basically just a healthy habit before bedtime, whenever you go to bedtime. So if you're a normal kind of 9-to-5, Monday through Friday worker, or if you're a shift worker, just basically implementing a routine that helps you kind of stay able to initiate sleep and maintain sleep.
So this sounds easy, right? But I can tell you right now, it's not something I can physically
do. It's not something
either
of us have succeeded very well at.
We're terrible at it.
Yeah.
What about, do you have a good routine for your sleep?
I try to live as I say, but the no coffee after 3 p.m. rule is really challenging.
This blows my mind. I don't drink coffee, but the thought you can't have any after 3 p.m. Coffee affects you that much that 3 p.m. is the time. Yeah. And then it makes me think maybe I go to sleep later than anyone else. So is routine, it's a lot of different, does it mean trying to break down the routine of what you eat and how, when you exit, like it seems that when you exercise, what time you go to sleep? Because my problem is my sleep can sometimes be 11 o'clock, midnight, 2 a.m. I don't know. I mean, and then if there's like any reality TV on, Robbie's up all night.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of like, sleep is kind of like on a continuum. And so what you need might be really different from what someone else needs. And our needs change as we go older. Our needs change like through pregnancy with like young children. If we're sick, our sleep sort of changes. But there is a kind of Goldilocks sort of window, if you will, of sort of thinking less than 6 hours is kind of like typically is associated with kind of other issues, as well as over 9 hours. So trying to find a window in there that
between
that
suits 6 and 9.
Yeah.
And then I can happily say that I'm sleeping really badly, because I think I'm lucky lately in the past week or so if I'm getting 5.
Okay, 5.
Which is bad. I'm one of those people. It's not in the good spectrum. I'm one of those people also that wakes up at 5 in the morning and then goes back to sleep. Is this kind of patterning and conditioning a good way for you to kind of change the way in which you can, like, because I don't control when my body just wakes up. It just does.
Yeah.
And I haven't got an alarm or anything. It just wakes up at 5. Would this kind of conditioning help to retrain the way my body is? Does my body think? That's what I was going to say. The way my body thinks to let me sleep more?
Yeah, well, if your body's waking you up and you feel alert after 5 hours of sleep, then, you know, you might be one of those people that is fine with...
Oh, I'm not.
...with 5 hours. Oh, okay.
Okay, I mean, it's a fair call. I'm absolutely not. Absolutely not in any way, shape or form. But I think the patterns that you talk about are really important.
Yeah, why is it that sleep is so important for us? What is sleep actually doing for our body?
Oh, yes, great question. Okay, so in the old days, we used to think that sort of sleep was just kind of like closing your eyes and the brain was sort of like shutting off. But now we know that there's so many different kind of processes and things going on in the brain that are healthy maintenance processes. So one of the biggest things that sleep achieves for us in the different sleep stages that we go through is essentially memory consolidation. So you know how when you're not sleeping, you're really forgetful, where are my keys, what did you just say, that kind of thing. So sleep helps to kind of contain, consolidate, strengthen memories.
It reboots your drive.
Excellent. Yes, exactly. And then another thing that I think is just really, really exciting and just really important about sleep is that sleep is now, we know, associated with the removal of neurotoxins that build up in the brain linked with Alzheimer's disease.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. So we think now, in fact, just last week, there was this massive study that was published out of the guys in Harvard. They found for the first time in human brains that deep, slow wave, that really, really, really restorative sleep where it's hard to kind of wake you up, it triggers the release of this fluid in the brain, and that fluid helps to clear out all these kinds of buildups of toxins linked with Alzheimer's. So essentially, wow, sleeping in deep sleep, and this only happens in deep sleep, which is so interesting, can maybe prevent the buildup of things linked with Alzheimer's.
See, normally when I have that deep sleep, it's when I'm so exhausted that I just sleep. Mm. So that's probably the bad way to do it, though, isn't it? So I guess I'm wondering how we train our body to have those deep sleeps. Now, we got a message in when we were asking some of our listeners, do they have good sleep patterns or sleep plans? Mm-hmm. And we got a message from Wayne saying, I've got a lot of good strategies that I learned from a cognitive behavioural therapist course conducted by what used to be, Thorn Harbour Health, what used to be the VAC, and include ensuring that there's no blue light or video screens before at least half an hour before you go to bed. And I know everybody says that, but oh no, you're nodding at me. Okay, it's absolutely a thing. But you know, so no blue screens and no iPhones, no TV, half an hour before bed.
If not longer. This is another one that I don't abide by, but it's so important.
I love it. Do you know the relief I have here is that thank God that you don't abide by it either. So we're all learning together.
Oh, it's so hard, yeah. So blue light in particular and electronic devices are activating in two different ways. One, the blue light itself is really physiologically activating, so it's not helping your body basically fall asleep. Your circadian rhythm thinks it's daytime, so that's the one way that your body's getting aroused.
Yeah.
But also the sort of media and things that you are engaging with on these devices is emotionally arousing, right? You see something interesting on Twitter, or you see some, you know, like an email, a work thing, and then your brain goes into planning mode. So all of this is like what we call physiological and cognitive arousal that you is basically preventing the initiation of sleep. So, yeah, your listener definitely is on the right track.
So good on your way, and you've taught us all something.
Yeah.
What are some other things that we can avoid doing sort of in the later parts of the day?
Yeah, so exercising like right before bed is probably not the best thing.
I'm doing everything wrong.
Regular exercise is great. It helps to reduce some of that, what I just was talking about, that physiological arousal, but at least about an hour before bed so that your body can kind of calm down. Making sure that you are not taking naps. So naps shouldn't really be used as a substitute for sleep. They feel good in the moment. They're so restorative and refreshing. Yeah, but then your body, when it's time to go to bed, doesn't really need it at that time. So it's kind of prolonging the issue. If you need to, the jury's kind of out about naps, but no more than a half an hour, like no more than once a week. So that's one thing.
I feel like we're going to have to make a spreadsheet. You know what? We're going to stick around. We're going to come back with more of this sleep hygiene because I think we need to come up with a bit of a plan and set a challenge for ourselves and for the listeners.
Okay.
For a challenge we can set ourselves to see how we go making our sleep better. This is the Counsellor's Corner on Mad Wednesdays on Joy 94.9 with Robbie and Dean.
You are on Mad Wednesdays with Robbie and Dean. We are halfway through our Counsellor's Corner with Dr. Elizabeth Landau. Thank you for joining us. We've been talking all things sleep, sleep problems, sleep hygiene, how we can sleep better, and what sleep does, what effect sleep has on us.
Mm.
What kind of things can our body can happen to our body if we're not getting the right amount of sleep?
Yeah, so you know, when you don't sleep, you're just more receptive to getting the common cold or the flu or things like that. You're just kind of
every
run
day
down.
Of my life.
Yeah. So this is actually because sleep is and sleep loss is really linked with an increase in inflammation in the body. It also disrupts levels of important hormones in our body that regulate growth and memory, like cortisol. Not getting enough good sleep as well can lower your resting heart rate. So even when you're just resting, your heart is kind of working harder and pumping sort of faster.
I'm worrying because I know I've been not getting enough sleep for the past couple of weeks, and that means everything is not going well for me.
Well, the thing is, all of this, sleep is a behavior, which means it can be treated.
Yeah.
So, and you know, there's benefits of getting like reversal of some of these increases of inflammation, and benefits to blood pressure and heart rate, even after just kind of fixing sleep after sort of a week or so.
Okay.
So your body's pretty resilient. It can bounce back.
This is very good information for me. Now, we just before we went to the break, we were getting some messages. We were about half an hour before you go to sleep, you're not meant to be looking at your phone because of the light and the blue light and the things that it does. And someone messaged in saying, your iPhone can now have a function turned on to eliminate the blue light after a given hour. I discovered something recently where you can put your phone on Do Not Disturb. So even if people message you or call you, it's not going to show up as a light or anything like that, which means I want to try something, not putting my phone in my bedroom at all. So it's not something I reach or grab for, because you can always get really addicted to looking at your apps and things, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's this notion which is called a ludic loop, which is why apps and our phones are so attractive and engaging, is because you have your top five favorite things that you love, right? You have Twitter, you have Instagram, you have Facebook, you have WhatsApp, you've got your Gmail, all the other things, Tumblr, etc. And by the time that you've gone through all of those, you can go back to the top and refresh. So there's just constantly updating information that just makes it so attractive.
Because you often just jump on your phone, don't you, and you look at your apps without even thinking. It just becomes this pattern that you keep doing around and around in circles.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get stuck in that loop, you're not breaking out of it. You're not giving your brain or your body or your eyes any time to relax.
Exactly. So replacement behaviors like having a book, you know, next to the bed and just kind of engaging with the book. You can't really refresh a book, so to speak. So having something that you can reach to.
So paper.
Yeah, old-fashioned style.
Ooh, okay. These are the things I'm learning. I reckon we need to put a challenge out there for ourselves and for our listeners. We've all agreed here that the three of us, we don't follow you don't follow your own advice, do you?
I try.
But maybe there's some ways for us to get some tips to getting better sleep. So if we had to put some plans on the table and just go, give this a try for the next week, what are some top tips you could do either before going to bed or to change the pattern of your day to be able to sleep better?
Mm-hmm. Such a great question. I think developing an unwind routine, so whether that's kind of, turning off your phone, putting it face down, half an hour before bed, taking a hot bath, having a cup of tea, doing a bit of even stretching or just kind of laying around, reading a book, things that aren't emotionally or physiologically arousing. So that's one thing. But also, I think reducing what we call social jet lag. So trying to minimize the difference of when you're waking up and going to bed when it's a weekday versus a weekend. So everybody loves a lie-in on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's so tempting, one of the best things. But come Monday morning,
you're struggling.
It's so difficult to bounce back from. So kind of trying to develop a regular rise time, regular bedtime, regardless of whether it's Monday or Wednesday or Saturday or Sunday. That's something that we can all start to try
to
do.
This is a good... How do you think you'd go, Robbie, with any of these top tips?
I would do my very best, Dean. I mean, I've had years and years of just terrible, terrible sleep in. I believe possibly that I might have sleep apnea, which is something that I think a lot of our listeners could probably relate to as well.
Yeah.
I think I do too. I think I need to go and have a test. But I think
generally are a little bit predisposed, I think.
I do have my iPad, which I have, and I read on. So maybe not having that next to my bed. One thing I'm definitely going to try, the stretching, cup of tea, and making sure at least half an hour before I go to bed, I'm not just watching TV and then crawling into bed. Because maybe this will change the patterns and the way. Is there a good... What's a good... I know we were saying anything between 6 and 9 hours is a good way to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. But is there a good time, do you think, to regulate your body to kind of try and be in bed by? Is there any data about that?
Yeah, it's such a personal preference. The main thing is go to bed when you're tired.
Mm. So the worst... I'm off. Then everyone have a good show.
Yeah, the worst thing you can do for yourself is try to stick to a really strict schedule and then lay in bed for hours and hours and hours and just be miserable.
I'm doing everything wrong. That's the one thing I'm getting from this segment.
I hope that, Dr. Elizabeth, I hope you're going to bill Dean for this segment, because his own little sleep session.
It really has.
But, we spend one third of our life asleep. It affects us all. It's so, so important.
One third of our life. I mean, you do when you say it. Yeah, that's really full on.
Yeah, one third of our our life. And the thing is, like, if you're not sleeping well, there's really, really dangerous consequences. You know, potentially death.
Oh, no, I was about to laugh going, you're looking at me when you say that, but now you've finished with that sentence. Oh.
Yeah, it's quite right. Dr. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us. We hope to get you back again soon.
Yes, we'll get you back in before the end of the year and we'll look at another topic. This has been really interesting. Listeners, if you have any tips for sleeping or things that you're doing wrong, why don't you let us know? Hit us up on 0427JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au and try some of those top tips so we can get our sleep health back. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast, driving you home and keeping you sane for your hump day, live every Wednesday from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.